This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
A change in buying habits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For the past 17 years, the best-selling vehicle in America has been the Ford F-Series pickup truck. Last month, it wasn't. The Honda Civic and Accord and Toyota's Camry and Corolla all outsold Ford's pickup. It's definitely making a statement about gas prices. GM, Ford, and Chrysler all had double-digit sales declines in May. And Honda moved past Chrysler as the number four car maker. Today, a Senate committee will look at car roofs, specifically what happens to roofs in rollover crashes. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
Right now, the federal standard requires car roofs to support 1.5 times the weight of a vehicle. The new standard could double that, but it's not near enough for some. Jackie Gillen is with the group Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
We already know that there are vehicles out on the road that have much stronger roofs than they're proposing. So why are they going ahead with a rule that is not going to do anything to really significantly address a major safety problem?
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is the agency that sets the standard, and Gillen and others say it's doing the bidding of the auto industry. Charles Torito at the Alliance for Automobile Manufacturers says his group supports strengthening car roofs, but he cautions against overregulation.
Roof deformation and injury in rollover crashes are related to the crash's severity, but that doesn't mean roof deformation causes injury.
Federal regulators say more than 10,000 Americans are killed each year in rollover crashes. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
United Airlines is making some major changes to deal with the cost of fuel. United's expected to announce today it will retire nearly 100 Boeing 737s. Basically, they're gas guzzlers. According to the Wall Street Journal, United also plans to eliminate the coach-only service called TED, and there could be more job cuts coming. What Ben Bernanke said yesterday is making big waves in the world markets. Bernanke said the Fed's biggest concern right now is inflation and the strength of the dollar, meaning no more interest rate cuts. The dollar immediately gained value. In Japan today, stocks are up. Exporters like the idea of a weaker yen. But in Europe, the markets are down. Europe has a lot of mining and oil companies which have benefited from the weaker dollar. The Dow fell 100 points yesterday to 12,402. The NASDAQ dropped 11. The S&P 500 lost 8. The price of oil fell below $124 a barrel this morning. Food prices have people eating out less, unless it's to hit the dollar menu at Mickey D's. But the local people who run each McDonald's do not like that development. Dan Gretsch explains.
McDonald's best-selling sandwich isn't the Big Mac. It's the $1 double cheeseburger. The chain says it will stick with the dollar menu, even as cheese, buns, and beef become more expensive. McDonald's corporate is insulated from these price increases because they're absorbed by franchisees.
It's a real horrible tension for these people who are potentially losing money on the transaction.
That's Howard Morrill, an attorney that represents franchisees. The fast food chain spends tens of millions of dollars promoting its dollar menu. Franchisees can opt out, but
you've basically spent your marketing dollar promoting something you don't do. So it's kind of a catch-22. You may have higher margin business, but you're going to chase people away and make them angry.
Some New York stores have taken double cheeseburgers off the dollar menu, and McDonald's is testing the sandwich in Georgia and Mississippi at $1.09. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by Clarkson Potters, the splendid tables, how to eat supper. The cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat. Available now.
As much bad economic news as I have to tell you every morning, we are not in a recession. At least not by one common definition, and that's two straight quarters of negative GDP. The economy grew at a rate of almost 1% last quarter. But commentator Will Wilkinson says, don't let that stop you from complaining.
Come on. Will we ever get a recession? Sure, gas and food prices are inspiring new expeditions into couch cushions across the nation. But without a full-on recession, without a declaration that the economy's officially hosed, it seems like we have to accept that it's not that bad. With a real recession, we could blame somebody. President Bush, the Federal Reserve, the Democratic Congress, greedy investment bankers, take your pick. And the upside of pain is complaining about it. A bona fide recession is a license to let slip the dogs of kvetch. But the economy keeps stumbling along, like a drunk who never quite falls down. If it's going to be so lousy anyway, you almost want to say, just fall, damn it. Economic growth is neither constant nor predictable. It speeds up and it slows down, sometimes so much the economy starts to shrink, the dreaded recession. According to the standard definition, a recession is two consecutive quarters of contraction. But somewhat mysteriously to economists, fluctuations in the business cycle have moderated over the last 25 years, as if the economy went on lithium in the early 80s. Recessions are less common, downturns less severe, and that pattern seems to be holding, which is to say, it really isn't that bad. Unemployment is up to 5%, which used to be considered really, really low. The inflation rate, including energy and food, is up to almost 4%. But in 1981, the last time gas was anywhere near this expensive in real terms, inflation was over 11%. Despite everything, the American economy appears annoyingly resilient. But I say we complain anyway, recession or no recession. We didn't used to whine about spotty cell phone coverage, but now we do, and that's progress. When things keep getting better, it takes less to warrant complaint. So what if the economy's still pretty good? This is America. That's not good enough.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.